Well, I hope everybody's doing well this morning. And again, you know, my name is Chris Kendall. If you are visiting here online or in person or regularly attend here, we're just very thankful that you are here. I'm so thankful that you guys are here this morning that I feel compelled to tell a knock-knock joke. So stay with me. Knock-knock. Gratty. Gratitude. It looked a lot better on paper. I'm not sure that's going to make it to any of the other services today. But it really does fit because, you know, being thankful or having gratitude is a choice. Because there are those seasons in our life where it is difficult to be thankful. It is difficult to have a heart filled with gratitude. And that's the question we've been asking ourselves, right? How do we thank through it? How do we thank God during the difficult times in our lives? You know, last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, and Paul encourages the people who are gathered, he says, to rejoice always, right? One of the ways that we're able to thank through it is to rejoice always. And rejoicing is something that you can do individually, but it's also something that we do corporately, that we rejoice with one another. And we do this by joining the body together in corporate worship. The Psalms in the Bible are exactly that. It is this songbook of worship of a nation, of a people. These Psalms were read and used in worship services. And Psalm 104 encourages believers when they enter into worship, right, to enter the gates with thanksgiving. You know, not a metaphysical gate, but a real, actual gate. Like when we come into worship, we should enter the church, we should enter the sanctuary with this sense of thankfulness and praise in our hearts. And giving thanks is an act of gratitude. But to bless the name of the Lord is an act of adoration. And the psalmist is saying, let your gratitude and let your worship be combined. Our psalm today, our scripture today is from Psalm 136. And Psalm 136 is exactly that. It is a psalm of praise. It focuses on God's power in the natural world and in the delivering of his people. It reminds us that God should be praised for his works of creation and providence, his deliverance and his care for his people, his judgment on their enemies, and his goodness to all. The psalm begins with these words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. And the beauty of this psalm is that it gives the congregation a chance to join in praise together. Right? It gives us the opportunity to praise God in unison. And so together we can recount the faithfulness of God and praise him for it. This psalm is truly a corporate prayer, and it's an opportunity for us in one voice to pray and to praise. And so as I read through the scripture today, I want to invite you to read the refrain with me when you see it appears and when it's on the screen. And so why we give thanks, like talking about that refrain, his love endures forever. And it's the refrain, in a sense, can become so common in this psalm that we simply gloss right over it and we miss it. But make no mistake, that is the heart of the psalm. Right? We have just heard about the character of God in verses 1-3. We've heard about the Lord who is good, who is the God of gods, meaning, right, that he is the one true God. and that he is the Lord of Lords, which means he is in control of everything. And this God, this good and true and all-powerful God loves us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Now, the word that's being used here in Hebrew is hesed, and it speaks of a special covenant love, right? When it says his love, his hesed, endures forever. It means that this good, true, all-powerful God just doesn't give his love and then revokes it. It means that this God loves his people no matter what. This God loves us even when we don't deserve it. His promise is to love us, and God's love is a special, covenantal, unbreakable promise. I mean, who wouldn't want this kind of love? Who needs this love in their life? Maybe you've never experienced this kind of loving promise in your life before. Maybe you've never, we take for granted this sense of lasting and love, but we don't always understand that or know it or have received it. But church, make no mistake, God offers it to you today. His love endures forever. So let's go on with the passage. You know, give thanks. His love is from the very beginning of time. And as we read these verses, notice where the Israelites start their song of praise, right? They begin their song of praise to God in the beginning for creation, all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, God, for creating this world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the oceans, and each one of us. Right? To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understandings made the heaven,
his love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters,
his love endures forever.
Who made the great lights,
his love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day, and the moon and the stars to govern the night. You know, I know our heads are not bowed and our eyes aren't closed, but church, we are praying. We are thanking God. We're praising him. God, everything that is, you have done. And God, everything that is, you have done because you love us. You did this for us. We're thanking God. We're praising God. That's what prayer is. His love has endured from our beginning. Secondly, give thanks because his love endures in both good and bad times. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm. And it's written for the nation of Israel because it jumps over most of the book of Genesis. And it goes straight to Exodus and to the formation of Israel as they come out of captivity in Egypt. And as we read through verses 10 to 15, notice how we praise God for two events: the Exodus from Egypt and the crossing at the Red Sea. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Egypt, at its time, was one of the first world countries. Right? There was no country stronger than Egypt. And the Lord absolutely crushes them to deliver his people. Now, this happened after about 400 to 430 years of captivity. where the Israelites were under hard and cruel slave labor. You think that in the 400 years those Israelites ever despaired? Do you think they ever doubted God and wondered where he was at? Do you think they wondered when they would ever be set free? You know, when we are captive, it is easy to despair. When you are tied up by a boss or a co-worker who is cruel, by a sickness you just can't seem to shake, by an addiction to drugs or alcohol, when we're held captive by bitterness that is so deep within us we don't know whether it will ever leave, God doesn't love you any less. I mean, even if the captivity is your fault, if you have chosen your shame, God still loves you. He loves us, and he poured out his anger. He poured out all of his anger at our sin on his son, Jesus. Right? Jesus suffered and died to set the captives free. And the cross displays God's love. God supernaturally delivered the Israelites by sending plagues upon the Egyptians, by striking down their firstborn and drowning Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. God promised his people his love no matter what, and his love endures in captivity and deliverance. And we give thanks because his love endures when we wander. Here, verse 16 simply says this: to him who led his people through the wilderness. You know, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt and then sent them on to Sinai, they were on the very border of the promised land. If you remember the story, right, Moses sent in the spies to go into the promised land, and instead of seeing God, right, instead of seeing God before them, they saw the mighty men of that country, and they despaired. You know, this God that got them out of Egypt with plagues, right? The Israelites left Egypt as conquerors. The Egyptians were coming up and giving them stuff. Take our gold, take our stuff. And they couldn't believe that God would lead them to this promised land. And so they had to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And again, we can scoff and we can point and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe they made that mistake. But we do the same thing all the time. Our hearts wander. We run away from our church family. We get into relationships that we shouldn't. But church, you know, when our love fails, God's love endures. His love endures even when we wander. And that's why we give thanks, because his love endures when others attack. And as the Israelites wandered then in the wilderness, they encountered these hostile kings and their armies, but rejoiced even in the face of their aggression, because God's love endured. To him who struck down the great kings and killed the mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. Moses had led the people, led the Israelites through the land of the Amorites, and he had sent word to King Sihon, saying that, look, we're just passing through. We're not going to take, we're not going to steal, we're not going to eat. Right? Because you get a, you know, you get a parade of like a million people wandering through a country. They just want to make sure, you know, hey, rest assured, everybody, we're just passing through. And that's what they ask. But Sihon was an evil king, and he attacked the Israelites. And so God defeated them. God defeated him, and he gave their lands to the Israelites. And when people attack you and hurt you unfairly, God can use it for your good because he loves you. You know, when we feel like we are surrounded by our enemies, when we feel like we are being oppressed by spiritual forces of darkness, we too can whisper that his love endures when others attack us. And we are able to give thanks because his love provides. And this final section brings us then back full circle to the same God who made the heavens. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. You know, the psalmist proclaims that his love endures forever, over and over and over again. You know, God doesn't just give us things, because God gives us his very self. God gives his love to his creation, and that ultimate act of demonstration of love for us is the sending of his son for us. You know, as it says in John's gospel, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave himself. His giving is an outpouring of love to his creation. And I think the question for us as we are gathered here today is, what are we going to do with that love? How are you going to respond? You know, will you choose to lift your voice in praise? Will you choose to be thankful? You know, on our back wall there, we have that place. We can use that wall as we enter into his courts with thanksgiving to lift up our thanks. What are the things you're thankful for? You can post them up there. And come into church, write down a thank, slap it on the wall. God, I recognize that I'm here because your love endures forever. And it gives us an opportunity to thank God for the breath we have in our lungs, the safety of a loved one. It gives us an opportunity to thank this God whose love never stops. Because his love endures forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your enduring love today. Thank you, dear God, that there is nothing we can do to make you stop loving us. Our circumstances don't stop you. Our stubbornness doesn't stop you. Our wandering doesn't stop you. Lord, you demonstrated your love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, while we were still angrily shaking our fists at you, you sent Christ to die for us. And so help us, O God, to be a thankful people. Help us to keep our eyes firmly affixed upon you, and to worship and to celebrate and to sing praises. As we know, when our eyes are lifted up, when our eyes are focused upon you, they're not focused on the problems. They're not focused on the things that surround us, but they are focused on you. Thank you, Jesus, for your enduring love for us, and we pray Lord, that we would follow after you. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.